Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming. It's good to see all of you. And I'm very excited about this morning. I've been preparing for quite a while. And if you know me, you'll know this is one of my hidden passions. Finances and just the biblical perspective on finances. So I'm really excited about sharing with you this morning. And I really want to ask you to see my heart, because these things can be very controversial. And it can be very, how can you talk about money in the church? And you know, it could be, many people can see it as a very controversial or a very sensitive subject. But I just want to ask you this morning to open your heart for what God wants to say. Because both Andre and I, we experience the most amazing freedom. And God's been dealing with us. I mean, we've been married now for 10 years. And God dealt with me since high school about finances and the biblical perspective on that. But in the last couple of months, God even showed us more things. And I'm just astounded by the danger in the one hand, but also the freedom in the other hand that there is in this area. So please see my heart. Look away from all, arguments and things that you've heard in the past, and maybe even bad experiences, when it comes to church and money and things like that. Please look away from all of that and just hear my heart this morning. Okay, I just want to pray for us before we start. God, what an awesome opportunity to be here. What an awesome opportunity, God, to share your word. And I pray, God, that every word that I will speak, it will be a seed falling on good soil. It will multiply this morning. God, I pray it will be good fruit in our lives. That we'll truly be able to move from financial stress to financial peace. I pray peace this morning, God, in our church, in this area. I pray liberty. I pray freedom. And as I minister, God, I just pray for your spotlight on that one thing that each individual needs to understand and needs to hear this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So are you ready? Great. I just want to show you this little book. Next week, you must come to church, okay? Because we ordered 80 of these books, because we just want to give it out for free for those of you who are interested. But we want to encourage all of you. Couples can take one between a couple, and we just make sure everybody gets one. But this little book blessed us so much. So we want to give it to you. We want you to read it, and we want you to just get exposed to this book called The Generosity Ladder. And I'm going to share a little bit about that this morning. Some of my content I got from the book, and the rest is just all my own stories and my own experience. But please come next week, and we're going to bless you with that. And if you can join us on Saturday, I've also put a lot of preparation into Saturday. I'm going to share, Andre's going to share, Dion's going to share, and we're going to teach you very practically how to manage your finances. Okay, so are you excited about that? One person, please. Yeah. Praise God. Okay, you know what? I've been reading the Old Testament in the last 2 months. I spent time in the book of Samuel, and then I'm busy now with the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And every time I read the story of King David and King Solomon, I almost fall in love with these characters in the Bible because they're so amazing. And then I come to the end of their lives, then I think, God, what on earth went wrong? Especially if you look at King Solomon. Right in the beginning of his reign, it says, and King Solomon, and Solomon loved God. He loved God. And he followed the Lord, and he walked in his commandments and in his statutes. And then towards the end of Solomon's life, he completely, lost track of what God wanted him to do. And God warned him so many times. And he was so wealthy, and he was so successful. But the Bible specifically says his heart turned away from the Lord. Why? Any suggestions? Why do you think King Solomon, he was wise? He was the wisest man ever, and he really loved God. Why did his heart turn away from the Lord? Anyone? Sinkuba is a wise woman, you see. a man can only have one wife. Okay, let me tell you that this morning. So guys, if you're unmarried, don't think you can handle more than one, okay? You would only be able to handle one wife. Solomon, for those of you who don't know, he had 700 wives. And that's not all of it, eh? And he had 300 concubines. So 1,000 women to keep happy. I mean, that's enough for any man to completely lose it. But the Bible specifically says all the women in his life, because they were not Christian or they were not serving God. They were from other areas and they were serving idols, and they turned his heart from the Lord. That was the one big reason. The other reason was all his wealth. And God specifically said you should not have horses. Very interesting. God said you will not have all these horses. And he imported the horses from all over. Because he could do it. He was Solomon. He was just so wealthy. And when I read the story, the one evening I was so depressed. I said to Andre, how could this happen? How could this happen to this man who was so following God with all of his heart? And we were talking about it and we just realized, it's not about how we start this life in Christ. It's how we finish. Would you agree with me? I mean, we can serve God today with all of our hearts, but if Jesus comes back, and on that day, if our hearts have turned away from God, it doesn't mean anything. So it's not how we start. It's how we finish this race. And that is why we talk about this. And maybe you think, is this really necessary? Isn't there maybe many other things we need to preach about and teach about? But you know what? If we do not have this thing under control in our lives, called materialism or called financial stewardship, there's a very good possibility that our hearts can turn away from the Lord. Let me tell you this morning. Let's not be naive. Let's not think that there's many other dangers. And there are. But this one in particular, is a very subtle danger. And the devil comes for our hearts and we don't even realize it. And that's why we talk about it. And I just want to show you a scripture in Revelation 3, which was quite an eye-opener for me when I saw it. Revelation 3, verse 15 to 17. It's one of the letters to the churches. And it says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. And I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's scary, hey? And because you say, and this is what I want you to see, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This is scary for me, I just think, God, I never want to be there. I never want to come to a place where I say, I'm rich, I'm healthy, I don't need anything. And I do not know that I'm poor and blind and naked. And I need God. And it's so easy, people. And we always think, no, but I'm not rich. For those of you who think like that, listen to Andre's sermon of 2 weeks ago. And we so easily say, no, but I'm not rich. I need a lot of things. I can do with a salary increase. Those people who have all these things, they're rich. People who have, private jets and those things, those people, they are really rich. When I grew up, I always thought, when you have a dishwasher, then you're really rich. My mom still, we're just going to get my mom a dishwasher. I'm one of 5 children, so when we all there for holiday, it's a big mess, eh? And it's always the girls having to wash the dishes, me and my sister. And I mean, I'm going to teach my boy to wash dishes, eh? Okay, we have a dishwasher now, so this is what I want him to come to. You must learn to pack the dishwasher, and that's what I'm going to teach him. But in any case, I always thought, dishwashers are for very rich and lazy people. I thought, if you're lazy and rich, then you have a dishwasher. I've changed my mind completely. Because Andre says the dishwasher is his best friend. So it's an investment. It's an investment in your marriage, let me tell you. But now I'm like Fred. Eh? Last week he said, this has got nothing to do with my sermon. But, you know, I think all of us are rich. We are richer than what we think. We are so blessed, people. And it's because we are so blessed that our hearts can so easily turn away from the Lord. It can so easily happen. But the good news is this morning, God has put certain things in place for us not to fall in this trap, not to be seduced by all these amazing things in the world, and for us not to come to a place where King Solomon came, where his heart turned away from God just because he had everything. He could have 1,000 wives. He just could have it because he was King Solomon. And this is what is the, you know, what is the beauty about the Bible. There's solutions and there's answers and there's tools for everything that we need. So that's the good news. So let me read you a quote by Dave Ramsey. Who of you know about Dave Ramsey? Not many people, I suppose. Okay. I'm going to tell you about him on Saturday. He's somewhat a financial guru, teaching people how to get out of debt. Quite interesting. I studied a few of his resources, and it all seems really good. So I'll talk about him on Saturday. He says, we buy things we don't need, with money we don't have, to impress people we don't even like. How's that for the truth? Eh? We buy things we don't need, with money we don't have, to impress people we don't even like. And what is financial stress? I mean, this whole generosity ladder that I'm going to share with you this morning is a tool to move us from financial stress here at the bottom. And when we climb up, it will take you to a place of financial peace. Now, what is financial stress? Let's just talk about that for a moment. I'm going to give you a few examples. Your debt is growing every month. For some of us, that could be a reality. Your debt is growing every month. You are making only the minimum monthly payments to your creditors. So all you can pay on your monthly, if you have a car or a house that you're paying off, all that you can pay is that bare minimum that you have to pay. Okay, that's all. And if you miss one paycheck, there's big trouble. And I think most of us are actually in that position. If you miss one paycheck, if you lose your job today, and you're without a salary for a month or two, there's big trouble. Okay, that's stressful. Hey, it's very stressful. You and your spouse fight about money regularly. Let me tell you, there's different opinions, but it's definitely under the top five reasons why people get divorced. It's finances. Some people say it's number two, some say it's number three, some even say it's number one, why people get divorced. Because people don't see eye to eye when it comes to finances. You know, what stupid reason to get divorced, ever? I mean, how can we allow something like that to come between a relationship that is born of God? Hey? But it happens. It happens that we fight so much about money that thing come between you and your wife. You're constantly stressed about money. You're constantly stressed. And you know that fear of losing everything? That fear of, what if my pension fund, in which I'm paying diligently every month, a tenth of my salary or whatever you're paying in, what if that thing goes bankrupt? You know, it happened to people that they lost everything, their whole nest egg gone. What then? Is our life going to fall apart? Are we still going to look to God for our provision? I want you to think about these things, okay, because that is financial stress. If we put our trust in these things, it's really stressful. You're going to stress for the rest of your life. You could even be a very good steward of your money. You could even do everything 100% right, saving, budgeting, staying out of debt, all of those things, you could still be stressing. Because your faith is in those things, your trust. And it's a terrible place to be, really. It's a tormenting place to be because you can't let go and you can't come to a place that if you lose everything, you're still going to be okay because God is your provider. And it's not something that we can just say lightly. We need to actually work through it in our hearts. We need to wrestle with God and come to a place where we can truly say that. And the most important thing we need to realize is God owns it all. That's the first thing. Before we can climb up this ladder, we need to realize God owns it all. Everything belongs to God. And it's so easy to say it. You know, of course, yeah, everything belongs to God. But it's not a reality for us people. It's not a reality. There's a scripture in Psalms 24 verse 1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to Him." Everything belongs to God. You know, I went through a stage in my life like 4 or 5 years ago or even longer when God started challenging me to give more, to give away quite a bit of my money. And I was completely freaked out. And I'm not talking about tithing now. I will speak about tithing this morning just to put everything in perspective for you. God challenged me to give over and above my 10% to the church. Because you see, I did that since high school. So for me, that wasn't my issue. My issue was giving more than that. Because everything belongs to God, you know. And I came to a point where I thought, you know, I knew when I would get a bonus from, you know, at work. I was hoping, you know, but we all knew the time. We never knew what it was going to be, but we knew that the time in the year. So I thought to myself, maybe I must just buy something as quickly as possible with the money. I mean, listen to this stupid argument, eh? Or reasoning. I am just going to buy, I'm going to get the money, I'm going to decide beforehand what I'm going to buy, I'm going to just go to the shop and buy it. Then God can't give me, can't tell me to give the money away because there's no money to give away. You know, and I just when I thought that, you know, God said to me, "Sonika, I hear what you're thinking. And you know what? What makes you think that I can't ask you to give your possessions away?" And I thought, "Yeah, you got me, Lord." I was so freaked out about this whole thing because God took me on a journey. You see, He took me on a journey to teach me, "Sonika, everything belongs to me. Not only your money, everything belongs to me." And God had to teach me in a very, very powerful way almost to let go. To let go. And you know, that was a turning point in my life because I had to face this whole thing that everything belongs to God. I had to deal with it. I had to deal with it that God can tell me to give my car away, you know, or he can tell me to give my dishwasher away for that matter. Please, God, don't tell me that. I'm sure there's many of you would like a dishwasher, eh? Oh, Lord, please not. You know, I was just almost shocked into a position where I had to acknowledge everything belongs to God and I'm never going to get away from it. I can now go and buy, take all my money in the bank, put it in a fixed deposit. You know, then it's like fixed. No, God, I can't give away. It's fixed. I can't, you know, it's gone, the money. I can't give, Lord. It's gone. It's not gone, Lord, but it's very safe and I can't get all of it. And you know, sometimes we do that. Sometimes, and it's sometimes something we don't even realize we're doing. We hold on so tightly to our belongings that we don't realize God can take it away in a minute. In a second, we can ask you to take it away. Job 1 verse 21 says, "Naked, without possessions, came I into this world from my mother's womb, and naked, without possessions, shall I depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed, praised, and magnified in worship be the name of the Lord." It's the Amplified version. "Naked came I into this world, and naked will depart." And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves about that. You know, Vian is now at this stage in his life where everything is, "Mama, meine, 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 Mama." Now, I'm trying to teach him, you know, that everything is not his. Now, he comes to a place now where he'll say, "Okay, Papa, schoene." Then I say, "Yes, yeah, okay, this is Papa, schoene." So I'm trying to teach him everything is not his, but he's pretty much, you'll know, Kuba, you'll also know, toddler, everything between, anything between 2 and 3, everything is mine, and it's very hard to get it out of him. Hey, I need to teach and teach again. And but you know, sometimes we are like that. It's mine, Lord, mine. It's mine. You can't have it. It's mine. And if we do not release control, and that is the second thing we need to know before we climb this ladder, everything belongs to God, and we need to release control. We need to open our hand and say, God, this is very difficult for me to deal with. This is very difficult for me to let go, but I let go. And you know, the moment you do that, the moment you open your hand, God comes and He takes that stress and He gives you peace. When you release control. Okay, are you all still with me this morning? When you release control. So we need to believe and know and understand that everything belongs to God. And this is not in a split second, let me tell you. It's a process. But then we need to release control. And the way in which we release control, and that's the challenging bit this morning. One of the ways, there's many ways, but the one very powerful way is by giving. We're never going to get away from this, people. Never, ever. We're never going to get away from this. And it's not something that comes naturally for us, eh? I'm telling you, I was so freaked out. The one time God told me to give away quite a couple of thousand rands, which I saved for 3 years. I mean, some of you will know the story from last year. I was depressed. I was crying for like weeks. You know, I know some people, you know, all these American preachers, like, praise God, and mammon will not ever hold in me. And I'll give 1,000 or 100,000 away and, you know, praise God. But, you know, I wasn't like that. I was depressed. I was crying. So I want to tell you this morning that it wasn't easy for me. This whole ladder I'm going to talk about this morning, it wasn't easy for me. It was hard. But if I look back, I just know, God, this is so awesome. This is so awesome to come to a place where I'm not so stressed the whole time about money, where I can really trust in You with all of my heart, where You bless me, God, where You even give me wants, not only needs, but wants, things I desire, You give it to me. But I know that God can the next day take it away. And it's not, I will never be completely free from this tension in my heart. We'll always have this tension. But as long as we wrestle with the Lord. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. The Apostle Paul speaking, he says, since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, and your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. So the New Testament, all over you'll see, the New Testament talks about excellence or excel in giving, extravagant giving. Some of the new believers in the book of Acts, they came and gave everything to the apostles, and they distributed that amongst them. Okay, this is not what I'm going to expect of you this morning, so relax. But it's a process. It's a process, and the New Testament talks about we need to excel in giving. So if you want to start somewhere, if you want to start somewhere, you need to get... I should have had a ladder here this morning. We have a ladder, eh? Good night, Leon van Gaal. We're going to get onto the ladder this morning. Praise God. You see, God's providing for me. You need to return. If you want to get on the first step, I'm going to get a volunteer, hey? So don't be so all relaxed. You must return an initial gift to the Lord. That's your first step. So if you have never given, thanks. Yeah, okay. Okay, there you go. Okay. This is my pulpit. Yeah. Okay. If you want to get onto the first ladder, or what do you call this? Step. You must return an initial gift to the Lord. All right? You must give 5 rand. Or 10 rand, or 20 rand, whatever. That is your first step. And you know, for some people, even that is very scary, to give that first step. Because what are they going to do with my money? Are they going to be good stewards? Will I be able to buy my Woolies lasagna if I give at the end of the month? You know, you wrestle with this. But the only way in which you're going to be able to release control is to do that first step. Okay. Initial gift to the Lord. You open your hand to God. All right? First step. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 to 2 in the New Living Translation. It's again the Apostle Paul teaching about this. He says, now regarding your question, so they had questions about this. Regarding your questions about the money being collected, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Very interesting scripture. On the first day of the week, you must each put aside a portion of the money that you have earned. So we notice two things here. Obviously, in biblical times, they were paid at the last on the last day of each week. So they had to return a gift to God on the first day of the week. Okay? The day after they have been paid. In our situation here, if you are being paid on a monthly basis, you return a gift to God as soon as you are paid. All right? That is what the Apostle Paul taught them. And also, our giving should be proportionally, be directly and proportionally tied to what God allows us to receive via an income. All right? This is what the scripture teaches. So that brings me to tithing. Okay? And I'm going to highlight some things to you that you never knew. All right? So you're going to enjoy this. I promise you. I know many people say that tithing is Old Testament, it's legalistic, it's... Sonika, I can't believe you're going there this morning. I think I must just maybe slip out the door quickly. You know, many people are really upset and afraid for this whole thing about tithing. But I'm going to show you two or three scriptures that will really help you this morning. Because many people think Jesus never even mentioned the word tithing. And I want to take you to a scripture in the New Testament, Matthew 23, verse 23. It's different in different translations. All right, so this one is in the New Living Translation. Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and he says, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and your Pharisees, hypocrites? For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes. That's what Jesus said. But do not neglect the more important things. So Jesus said, yes, tithing is part of being my disciple. Tithing is part of it. But it's not the only thing. We can't think because we are tithing, no, you know, God is really blessed with us. And there's a part of God that is really blessed with us when we do tithe. And I'll come to that now. But if we only tithing, but the rest of our lives, we're not following God, and we're thinking we're doing Him a favor because we tithe, then we are legalistic. Okay. It can be a very legalistic thing to give God 10%. But it's a whole package of things that should be in place in our lives. You know, and as I say, the New Testament standard is extravagance. Who of you have ever waited at a restaurant? Quite a few. Okay. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you're serving somebody and they give you a 10% tip, do you feel honored? Do you feel extravagantly blessed? Do you feel that they really appreciated you? Yes or no? No. No, of course not. It's the 10% is the expected, just basic. So if somebody gives you more than 10%, maybe 10.2%. Are you then feeling blessed and really honored? Hey? Hmm? Yes. Anything above 10 is good. You know, the Bible says we should honor God. The Bible says we need to be extravagant givers. And you know, when Andrew and I spoke about it a lot in the last while, and we said to ourselves, if we as an individual can't even give God 10%, if we can't even give Him the basic minimum, how would we ever be able to honor Him? How will we ever be able to move beyond that and come to a place of extravagance. Are you following what I'm saying? So, yes, many people say 10% is legalistic, and but if you feel 10% is legalistic, you know what you can do? You just give 1 month 11%, and then next month you give 15, and then next month you give 10.2. How's that? But we've realized, if we ever want to honor God, really want to honor Him, and we can't even bless Him with the first fruits, with the 10%, how are we ever going to be able to? Because I'm telling you, I was freaked out when God started challenging me to give more than my 10%. I was completely freaked out. I said, God, I can't do it. It's untouchable, Lord. It's my 90 now. I've given my 10. There you have it. Leave the 90 alone. And God said, sorry, my child, but if you ever want to be free, you need to move beyond. And that's quite scary, let me tell you, but it's an awesome place to be. So let me take you to Malachi 3. Okay, we're just going to look at that quickly. Maybe you can turn there with me, and you can just see it for yourself. Malachi 3, verse 8 to 10. I just want to explain to you the scripture this morning, because there's also many things about Malachi 3 that scares people. Malachi 3, verse 8 to 10. It says, will a man rob God? And this morning is not to make you feel guilty, okay? So if you feel guilty, you just say, guilt, go now, in Jesus' name. It's not to make you feel guilty. It's not to make you feel condemned in any way. Okay, so if you're not tithing this morning, this is not to make you feel guilty. Okay, this is to get you on this ladder to become free. Will a man rob God? Yes, you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? I mean, God, are you serious? And then God says, in tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse. I'm going to explain to you what that means. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes. Some translation says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So let's just first look at the curse in our culture. Is God now going to hit your house with a earthquake or tsunami or something? You're not tithing? Yeah, I'm giving you 6 months. Then the tsunami is coming. No, I shouldn't joke about this. Yeah. I just picture myself, my whole house gone. That's hard, eh? Everything. All your photos. Everything. Your computer. Everything. You know, the more we have, the more we stress about what we have, because what if a tsunami hits us? And that is why we need to become free, that no matter how much you have, we must be able to be free. You know what is the curse? The curse is going to bed every night worried about money. Arguing with your spouse about money. You know, it's terrible to fight with your husband or your wife over money. Let me tell you, for those of you who don't know, it's horrible. It's one of the most horrible things that could be in your marriage. Living a life of just fear, losing everything, your pension, your job, you literally live in fear. Because what if? That is the curse. Okay, we bring it upon ourselves, people. We bring this curse upon ourselves because we are bound if we do not step into this tithing thing, because we bring a curse upon ourselves of worry, of stress, of what if? And God wants to help us to become free. What is the storehouse? The storehouse is your local church. In biblical times, it was the temple. Yeah, they talked about the storehouse as the temple where the people had to bring their money. In today's terms, it is your local congregation. All right? That is where the tithe should come to. The Bible is very clear about that. What is the food? The food was the ongoing ministry in the temple. And today the food is what we do here. You know, whatever we do in the church, that is the food. It feeds people spiritually. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, we don't have a very rich American uncle supporting Shofar East London. Okay, so just that you know. Andre and I don't have a very rich relative in maybe in London, eh? That's maybe better. We don't have anybody, you know, now supporting this church. Everything we can do is because of your faithful giving. And I really want to thank you this morning. No matter what you give, you know, and I am going to challenge you this morning, but whatever you've ever given to Shofar East London or to your previous church, just know that without that, we can't do what we do. We can't do it. We can't buy chairs for you to sit on. We want to buy a new bass amp now for the guys, for John Pierre, to play his bass guitar, you know. We won't be able to do that if some of you are not giving, hey? And I just want to thank you. And it's not only that, it's not only money for the church. It's a process of you being set free. It's good for us to give. It's really good for us to give. And, I mean, I just want to tell you this story. I know it's I might go over my time this morning, but I just need to share you this story. When it comes to the blessing of God, you know, what is the blessing that God talks about? I'm going to pour out blessing for you. Is that now your favorite car? Your dream car? You know, let me tell you, you might actually not be able to buy your dream car because you are tithing. Okay, sorry about that. That's the story of our lives. Now, I always ask Andre, but I can't figure it out, you know, that specific car. I mean, okay, now let's not go there. Okay, I'm not going to go there now. Let me get back to my previous story. Andre gave his car away, 5 years ago? He woke up one morning, God told him he must give his car away. Okay, so now we had to find a new car because, surprise, surprise, there wasn't a nice car on our lawn the next morning after he has given his car away. Not even a week after that. Not even a month, you know. Nobody gave us a nice car because Andre, you know, gave his car away. So just that you know that if you give your car away, there's not necessarily going to be like that kind of blessing returning to you. We had to buy a car. And obviously we, you know, his car was paid off. It was like this unexpected expense all of a sudden. And we were looking at cars, and all that we wanted to do in a sense was to buy something of value that we can pay off as quickly as possible. And we started looking at cars, and when we did that, you know, Andre said, but, and we also had a friend, you know, making recommendations. He was in the car industry at that stage. And he said, no, the City Golf, Volkswagen City Golf is a good option. And I think, over my dead body, am I driving a Chico? Now listen to the story now. This is very, I'm exposing myself here this morning, eh? But it's very good. My dad was giving driver's lessons. You know, when I was at school, he had a Chico. I couldn't even get the car started because it was still with a choke, eh? Those of you know the choke Chicos. Now, I didn't know that the one that Andre was going to get, it's still the one he's driving today, eh? It was a much nicer one, but I thought, oh, my God, I'm not going to survive this. Lord, please just give me grace, you know, to survive this trial in my life. And, you know, I thought, no, we must buy a Polo. You know, I wanted a Polo because I thought, you know, this car, giving your car away is anyway now, this is now a big mess. There's lots of things that I can't tell you now this morning because of time. But, and I wasn't into this driving a City Golf at all. You know, and I took it to God and I said to him, Lord, what is this now in my heart? You know, I wasn't blessed with my own heart attitude. And Andre was so, of course I'll drive a Chico. What's wrong with that? You know, and I thought, you're a man. You know, I had so much respect for him because he was just, you know, whatever. I just need transport. And God said to me, Sonika, you know what? It's going to be an investment in your heart and in your soul and in your spirit. This is what you must do. You know, and I had to deal with it, and it was, people. It was an investment in my heart, in my soul. 2 years later, you know, it was not as if I was driving a Mercedes-Benz or anything. I was driving, listen to this, 1997 Opel Corsa, it wasn't a light, you know. It wasn't a 130i Opel Corsa. It was kind of a nice Corsa for those times. And the article clerks told me, Sonika, your car's an embarrassment for the company. So what I'm trying to say is, it was not as if I was now this driving this nice car or anything. Andre had a very nice, much nicer car after we bought the City Golf. But 2 years later, when we had to replace my car, you know, I was so free. I was so free of this car thing. And in the end, we bought the car that we have now, the newer Opel Corsa. And, you know, I just said to God, Lord, this is the one we want. But if this is not what you want for us, then we don't. You know, we saved for a couple of months to put down a nice deposit, and we bought it. You know, but if God told us a week before the time, leave it. We actually were in a position to do that. And I wasn't there 2 years before that. I was so, I don't know, I was so attached to these kind of things. And God had to deal with me in a very serious way. And I'm going to talk about this on Saturday, okay? Because just because you can afford it, doesn't mean you should buy it. And that's quite a radical thing to say. Just because you can afford it doesn't mean that you should buy it. So what is the benefits of tithing? I'm almost finished. So just forget about New Testament, Old Testament. Just forget about any biblical viewpoint on tithing. Okay, forget about it. Listen to this. What is the benefit of tithing? Tithing trains us to put God first in our lives. It trains us to put God first. It teaches us. It helps us. It's a tool. Okay, because this is your basic giving. Okay, no, I'll come to that now. I'll come to that when I'm not going to challenge you. Tithing reminds us that all we have and all we are is from God. When you pay over or give or whatever you see, that 10%, it reminds you everything I have belongs to God. God provided for me 100%. I'm joyfully returning 10% to Him. Because if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have had 100% in any case. Okay, it reminds us. Tithing begins as a duty but can become a delight, leading to joyful voluntary giving. And that is what I said. If we can't even give God 10%, how are we ever going to become joyful, extravagant givers? And that I can really testify in my own life. You know, if I wasn't disciplined in that, I would have never been able to move beyond if God speaks. I would have never been able to do that. So let's just talk about the life of extravagance, and then I'm going to ask Aldi just to share a short testimony. You know, a couple of years ago, Andre and I decided to give a certain amount to friends of ours who really struggled at that time, which was also over and above our tithe. Okay, your tithe always comes to church, not to the storehouse. So if you want to give to a friend in need, we should give over and above our tithe. It's not always so easy, I realize that, but that is what the Bible teaches us. And I had an amount in my head, Andre had a certain amount in his head, and when he shared his amount, it was much more than my amount. I thought, no way. We can't give so much money away to our friends. You know, and it's amazing how God dealt with my heart. I'm telling you. He took me to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, and God said to me, Sonika, if you're going to sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. And if you're going to sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And once again, you know, we can't now sow and then sit on the chair and say, God, I'm waiting. I'm waiting, God. I want to reap. God, you're taking too long, Lord. I've given. I've sowed my seed. You know, we should completely take our focus off the reaping part. Because the blessing that Malachi 3 also talks about, it's not only material blessings. It's peace, people. It's joy. It's a happy marriage. You know, what Andre and I have in terms of life, I do not exchange that for all the money in the world. You know, the blessing that God has given us, it's not only material things. It's much more than that. Things you can't buy with money, ever. I mean, how do you buy a happy marriage? How do you buy a happy marriage? Look at the divorce rate. You know, but in honoring God, and I'm not saying if you tithe, you are going to have a happy marriage. Okay, please don't get me wrong. But if we walk in obedience to the Lord, His blessing is far more than material things. All right? So, Aldi, do you want to come and share quickly? I just asked Aldi because the two of us had a few chats about giving. And God has just did a special thing in her heart as well. Just share with us.
I'll try to be quick. I just want to share a bit about the process that happened in my heart. Like, it wasn't like instant, now I'm just going to give away my money and stuff. It started in growing up when I was, my parents encouraged us to tithe our pocket money and whatever we earned with our jobs and things. But it wasn't easy because we didn't grow up with a lot of money. We were quite poor. Yeah, we had the bare necessities to make it through the month and stuff like that. But it was very hard, especially when you're little, you don't understand. So it was just really, like, I really didn't understand what it was about. But God really came and He spoke to me, like, was while I was at varsity, and it was still difficult because I was also quite poor as a student. Also the whole part where everything that you have is actually from Him, and that He only wants like 10% back. And then He also says, like, but if you sow this, He will reward you for that. And I'm like, okay, that's quite awesome. So I started to try to tithe, even though I didn't really have any income. So it didn't work out well. I couldn't tithe the full amount. And then after varsity, God really blessed me with an awesome job. I basically walked into a job and not going through interviews and all of that, and it was really a blessing. And then I was so excited, oh, now I have enough money, I can tithe, that's going to be awesome. But it wasn't. It was very difficult, so much money I have to give away, and it wasn't easy. And I made a bit of a mistake by leaving it for too late, not tithing, immediately after receiving my salary. So it didn't work out. And then I started thinking, but this month I'm not going to make it. So if I just borrow the money from God, maybe next month I can have enough to paying back. And so it didn't work. So it started to be a bit of a problem because I got a bit into debt and into overdraft. I'm not getting through the month and stuff. I'm like, God, I really need You in this. So I started praying over my budget, just asking God to really just help me with this. And then He showed me how to tithe straight after I was paid. So then it became much easier. But then He blessed me so much that it really became quite easy to tithe in the end. And I shared a while ago with my cell group, how blessed I am. It's really a blessing to be able to tithe easily and stuff. And then while I was saying this, I just heard this loud whisper in my head that I know was God saying, do you trust me to give more away? I'm like, what? More than just my tenth of my salary? Just, really? Is this from You? So I realized also then still that there was still a hold on me. I wasn't free, and it was still holding me back, all that worries about money and God providing. I still needed release, and I still needed that bond or that stronghold that I was over my life. I still needed to be broken. So I decided, Lord, I really need to be obedient, but I'm going to need You to help me with that. And He did. I managed to give more than what I used to give. And I can just testify that it was so amazing. Straight after I've deposited the money, I look at my budget, and suddenly I just had more money. like it just worked out, like the budget just balanced proper, and I started, like, I had more money than I started out with. And but sometimes, like Sonika said, you don't see immediate results for the reaping that you've done. Like sometimes it's like the seeds that you sow is like mushrooms. It comes up the next day. But sometimes the seeds that you sow, it's like oak trees. It takes time to grow. So, yeah, I hope it's an encouragement. Like, it's not like Sonika said, it's an instant thing that you just get right. It's like God used, like, quite a couple of years to change my heart about it. Thanks.
I'm sure all of you have stories, eh? And I just want to encourage you this morning to climb up another step, okay? If you've never given, to give something to God, all right? Don't be worried. I'm not going to fall off. If you've given something sometime in your life, you know what you must do? Let's get up another step. You must say, God, I'm going to give regularly every month, whether it's tithing or not. Maybe you're not there. Okay, maybe you just are not there. Even though we trust God that we all should move to that. Okay, because that's where freedom lies. But to give regularly every month. And as Aldi says, after you've been paid, that's the secret. Okay, immediately, as quickly as possible. And then you must move up another one. That is 10%. Constantly, diligently, every month, giving 10% of your money. Okay? So you give an initial gift, you give regularly, you give 10% regularly, and then you move up here. Okay? Don't be worried. I'm okay. Then you give over and above your tithe, like Aldi says. No, you must listen to what I say. Forget about me. You must give over and above your tithe, even if it's 5 rand, people. Start somewhere. Okay, I want to encourage you this morning. That's where real freedom lies. Okay, so can you stand with me? I know you're all nervous. Stand with me, please. The band can come up. I just want to, I want us now to put our money where our mouth is, okay? And I want you to close your eyes and I want you to evaluate your commitment to the Lord, whatever step you're willing to take this morning. Okay, it's between you and the Lord, but I am going to ask you to raise your hands. Because I want us to really indicate this morning what step are we wanting to take. And if you're married, you can discuss it with your wife, your husband at home. I encourage you to do that. We never do anything if we're not in full agreement, if we're married. But I want to ask you, just as all our eyes are closed, okay, we're not looking around. I want to ask you, if you've never given something to the Lord ever and you're really scared, but you say, God, I want to do it. I want you to raise your hand. You've never given anything. Okay, thank you. You just say, Lord, change my heart because I want to. And now, if you have given something in the past, but you're not giving regularly, okay, you give every now and again maybe, but you want to, you say, Lord, please. I want to, maybe you don't even want to, but you know you want to honor God in this area. I want you to raise your hand just if you want to start giving regularly. Okay, praise God. Thank you. That's fine. That's fine. God knows that we need to endure till the end, people, and that is why we need to become free of this. If you give regularly every month, but you're not tithing, okay, it's this big thing for you, and you either feel guilty or you feel maybe it's not of God or whatever, don't worry about your emotions now. You just say, God, I actually want to be free, so I want to move from regular giving to tithing. Anybody like that, just raise your hand as an indication to the Lord. Okay, amen. And then anybody, you are tithing, which is awesome. You know, it doesn't make us any better Christian than anybody else. It's just the grace of God that helps us to move to that point. If you want to give over and above your tithes, as I say, even if it's a small gift in the beginning, just raise your hand quickly. Just say, God, I actually want to move there. Amen. Thanks, guys. I just want to pray for us, because I feel, you know, we're winning. Okay? We are winning. We're in the team who's going to endure till the end, until Jesus comes back. If we are being set free from the spirit of mammon, because it can actually turn our hearts away from the Lord. All right, so let's just pray. God, I honor you for these people. I thank you for their hearts, Lord. I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord Jesus. I thank you that every cent, God, anyone has ever given to this church enables us, God, to do the work of the ministry. Enables us, Lord, to reach out to people. Enables us, God, to bring your word and to pray and to touch people's lives. And I just want to pray that you'll bless them, God. Please honor them. Please honor them for every cent, for every rand they've ever given, Lord. Bless them in Jesus' name. I pray for breakthrough in their finances. I pray for breakthrough, Lord, in their work situation. I pray for breakthrough in their marriages, God. I pray that they'll move from financial stress to financial peace, Lord. I pray for whatever commitment we want to make, God, we're willing to make now. I pray for the grace to do it. Because we can't do it in our own strength, Lord. We need you. But I pray as we move, God, up this ladder of generosity, that our hearts will be attached to you, that you will come and reveal yourself to us, your heart. Set us free, Lord, in Jesus' name. Set us free from materialism and from mammon and from all these things, Lord, that is so important to us. Set us free, God, in Jesus' name. So we just give our hearts to you this morning. We worship you with all of our hearts. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want to be an extravagant giver. I really want. Sonic, I've been talking about it. We want to give much, much more than 10%. I want to be free. My greatest breakthroughs in my spiritual life have been the times when God has challenged me to give. It releases your heart to worship Him. It is very blessed and very powerful. The challenge is, so often you literally can't be an extravagant giver if you're bound by debt. And debt in that sense can be a curse. So this Saturday morning, 8:15, we're going to be talking about how to get out of debt, how to budget, and how to plan your life and set your goals so you can truly be free. Okay, so please register for that in the foyer. The lists are there. It's really going to be good. And I'm very excited about this. I tell you, if God by His grace breaks the power of materialism over our hearts, we will see revival. I absolutely guarantee you. Materialism is the thing that is keeping Western society from serving Jesus Christ. It is the biggest problem. And God is going to set us free. Amen. Amen. Lord, we worship you. Do we have a song?
I just want to say, if tithing freaks you out, until Jesus comes back, now I must give 10%, do it for 4 months. Okay? Whatever commitment you've made this morning, do it faithfully for 4 months. It's not that bad, eh? And just see the change in your heart. You'll probably continue after that. But just say, okay, God, I commit for 4 months. It's not so scary then. Okay? And then you take it from there. All right.